No, there will be no verse. I mean, I will read one, but topical class. I don't know actually. Gopinath Acharya, who is not here to tell us. Alright, so yeah, I selected one verse from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. 239, which is related to one of the five potent angas of bhakti, which was described in Chaitanya Charitamrita, when Lord Chaitanya gave instructions. And the last five of the items of devotional service are described by Rupa Goswami in a verse where he talks about these five items. And last Tuesday we discussed, we heard and enjoyed the presentation of Manu and Krishna Das Prabhus about the Nam Sankirtan. So the other four items are residing in Mathura, residing in Mathura, association with devotees, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam and serving the deity of the Lord. I just, seems I lost my my other note. But he, at the end of describing, this is the second wave of Nectar of Devotion, or Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, where the Śrīla Rūpa Gosvāmī gives the summary of bhava and prema bhakti. The most of the chapter is concerned with sadhana bhakti, which is divided in vaidhi bhakti and raga nuga bhakti. And so these items are part of vaidhi bhakti, the process of devotional service by following the regulative principles and following the prescribed items of devotional service. So at towards the end of the list, Rupa Goswami says that these five items, the last five items, are so powerful, so potent that even one follows them, or just by relating to them in some way, if one's mind or mentality is not offensive, one can attain or awaken bhava or devotional ecstasy. And then he gives reference to Shastra, proving the power of these five items. And for the worship of the deity, the verse he gives is this. Tatra Shimurti Yatha Smeram Bhangi Traya Parichitam Sachivistrim Tadrishtim Vamshi Nastadhara Kishalayam Ujjvalam Chandrakena Govinda Khyam Haritanum Mitake Shitirthopakante Ma Prikshithas Tavayadi Sake Bandhu Sange Sri Ranga. Translation: the power of serving the deity. O my friend, if you desire to enjoy with your friends and relatives, then do not look upon the form of the Lord, called Govinda, wandering near Keshitirtha on the bank of the Yamuna River, with a slight smile on his lips, posed with three bends in his body, eyes glancing everywhere in a crooked fashion, flute placed on his red flower lip like a tender bud, and shining gloriously with a peacock feather. Jiva Goswami's commentary, using his own sweet words, the author, in five verses that follow, expresses his ecstasy about the five items that he had mentioned in verses 9 to 92. By saying, do not look, the author actually means that one must look at Krishna. By experiencing the sweetness of the form of the Lord, you will consider everything else to be insignificant. Therefore, look at that form of Krishna. This is the intention of the prohibition. Now, I always wonder why exactly this verse is chosen to illustrate the power of deity worship. Right, it describes, this is actually a verse also that appears in another work of Rupa Goswami, but it always, I always think when I hear it, like it's one gopi telling another gopi this, my dear friend, if you don't look at Krishna at the bank of you, don't go there. I actually brought a computer to play you of how Prabhupada says that. It's from one lecture, he made an expert. It's so sweet. If it sounds enough, I think I'll play it. But the question was why this is related to deity worship. So here it seems that this conversation between two gopis is very much related to sadhana bhakti and devotional service in the process of, especially Vaidhi bhakti, in the process of worshipping the Lord by regulated duties. And what will be the result if you worship the Lord, and especially here the example is if you look at the form of the Lord as a deity, you will forget everything else. So anyway, I will try to play this now, and see. Yeah, here is also from the Nectar of Devotion again, Prabhupada's relating this section. In the above two verses, Rupa Goswami, there are some metaphorical analogies that indirectly condemn the association of materialistic society, friendship and love. People are generally attracted by society, friendship and love, and they make elaborate arrangements and strong endeavors to develop these material contaminations. Here's Pradeep Haribol. Do you know if I can connect this? I have a cable directly to play it. Otherwise, I don't think from mic it will come. So, yeah, society, friendship and love. I think Prabhupada uses this a lot of times, and he took it from an important consideration in the mind of everyone in this material world, and everyone is trying to make elaborate arrangements, but this is considered contamination. So why does society, friendship and love, the things which are most sought by people, are here rejected? Because they separate us from Krishna. But if they are connected with Krishna, then there is no problem. And the way to do it is, again, to serve the Lord, to see the Sri Murti of Radha and Krishna, is to forget such endeavors for material association. Rupa Goswami composed his verse in such a way as he was seemingly praising the material association of friendship and love and was condemning the audience of Sri Murti of Govinda. This metaphorical analogy is constructed in such a way that things which seem to be praised are condemned and things which are to be condemned are praised. The actual import of the verse is that one must see the form of Govinda if one at all wants to forget the nonsense of material friendship, love and society. And in another place, this verse is again given, my dear friend, I was just going to the bank of Yamuna, and all of a sudden a very nice boy, whose complexion is like a dark blue cloud, became visible in front of my eyes. He glanced over me in a way that I cannot describe. But since this has occurred, I am sorry that I can no longer engage my mind in the duties of my household affairs. This is an example of purvaraga, or attachment to the beloved before seeing one. So here is... Oops. Please do not look at him, otherwise you're in trouble. All your material affections must will become very insignificant. Of course, our problem is first to understand that the material affections are a problem. This is, although we may take it as something theoretically true, that it's very difficult to become happy by such material acquisitions of having good society and good friends and falling in love. Our experience, or if you are too young, maybe by hearing, if not personal direct experience, we might hear or read or see that people are usually very frustrated, if not soon or at least later, in such endeavors, because even if one's relationships are stable, they are temporary and at one point will be ended, which will cause inevitable suffering. But most of the time we are frustrated even earlier. So the question is, what do we do in between? We are advised we have to develop these feelings of love and friendship with Krishna and the devotees. But before that, what is going to happen within our heart? Before we have these loving emotions towards Krishna, how can we expect that we will be happy without the other? So we might be feeling some apprehension about our status of consciousness in this regard. And we might say, well, Krishna is so far and I have no love for him and I'm so contaminated and fallen. What then should I do? Maybe I should satisfy these material needs and desires, and at the end of my life I'll dedicate everything to Krishna, and perhaps then I will develop some strong attachment for him. But this is a trick of Maya. We shouldn't think like that, and we shouldn't think that that in the spiritual relationship there is no society, friendship, and love. Actually, there is the real society, friendship, and love. In the spiritual world, there is everything which we have here. There is society, of course. The society which has certain rules and etiquette and all that, and there are friends and families and all kinds of relationship and rasas to exchange. And this is not just some ideal, like, oh, yeah, it's like utopia. It's a reality. It's the basis of the reality which we experience here. But here it is perverted by contamination of lust, envy, greed, and so many Prabhupada calls them inner priorities. But they're in their pure form. So we can have all kinds of relationships in society and friendship and love if the center is Krishna. So we can see that even devotees in this world, while they're here, they can experience such such feelings of attachment when Krishna is in the center. And there are different examples, but one comes to mind is the passage in Brihad Bhagavatamritam when Narada Muni, if you know that book, it's a wonderful book by Sanatana Goswami. It's a story divided in two parts. First part is Narada Muni is traveling and looking for and asking different devotees to find out who have received the most mercy of the Lord. And the second part is the story of the journey, spiritual journey of Gop Kumar. Hare Krishna Gopinath Charitam. We're waiting for you to help us with the verse. I wrote it and wanted everyone to chant with me, but nobody could follow. Only you could help. First by saying in what language is it written. Okay. Maybe later. And so Narada Muni starts from asking one Brahmana, and this Brahmana recommends different devotee, and he goes and travels in this world and in the material world, and goes even to Vaikuntha. But at one point he's asking Prahlad Maharaj, and Prahlad Maharaj says, no, I'm not. His usual address of Narada Muni is by going to a certain devotee, oh, you are the best devotee, you received the most mercy of the Lord because of this and this and this. And always the devotees who are dressed like that answer, no, you're really mistaken. So Prahlad Maharaj says, no, what I have done, because Narada Muni praised him and said, actually, even Lakshmi, all Brahma, Shiva, and the other demigods, they couldn't receive the affection and mercy of Lord Nrisimhadev. He touched only you, and patted you on the head. Who could imagine such a mercy? And Prahlad Maharaj said, well, this was one moment, because I was a young, small boy, and Lord Nrisimhadev felt his affection. And what did I do anyway? I only remembered him in a distressful state of mind. But otherwise, I didn't do anything. If you want to see a real great devotee, go to Hanuman. He is doing things, not just remembering, like me. He has sacrificed everything. And then Narada Muni goes to Hanuman, and it's the scene described is really amazing. Just by going, and this is interesting, because Hanuman was engaged in Kim Purusha Loka in worship of the deity of Lord Ramachandra. This is one point I wanted to make, that the Lord, we have examples in the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra and Lord Chaitanya, in dealing with the devotees. Sometimes devotees are so much distressed from the thought of being separated from him that they can't allow him to leave. So the Lord says, well, if you worship my form, it's not different. And if you know this past tense of the Brahmana who was fasting and until he sees Lord Ramachandra, so a deity was carved, Lord Ramachandra asked specifically, so that this Brahmana can worship the deity and be able to take his, his food, otherwise he wouldn't. And similar story is with Lord Chaitanya, when the two very dear devotees of him, Suchidas and Goridas, Pandit, he stayed together with Nityananda Prabhu in their houses, that they are still, these houses are still there in Ambika Kalna. It's about 40 minutes from Navadvip. And at one point they had to leave, but the two brothers said, no way, you have to stay. We can't live without you. And Lord Chaitanya said, but no, we have to leave. And at one point, after long negotiation, they decided, okay, you carve two deities of us, and then you worship that they are not there. So they did that while Lord Chaitanya was still there. I think these are the or maybe before there was the deity of Vishnu, of Lord Chaitanya, which was left for Vishnu Priya. But these are one of the first deities made for Lord Chaitanya while they are still present. So, but even then, the brothers were not so happy, and they were like, yeah, but they are different, you know. And so they were at one point very much convinced. It's a long story. They were convinced that they are not different at all. And with the deities, the set of Gornitai, Goridas Pandit, what happened actually at one point was that his disciple, while Goridas Pandit wasn't there, he was traveling somewhere, his disciple decided to organize Gaur Purnima and do, and collect, you know, assemble many devotees. They were doing kirtan on the banks of the Ganges, and at that time Goridas Pandit came back and he became somewhat angry because his disciples arranged some festival without first asking him for approval. And so he went, you know, he saw the deities, you know, Gornitai, and then he heard about the festival, so he was very, very angry. And what happened actually was the deities went there, that's what they say. And that's why, because he became even more angry, so he took a stick and was going to the big festival. And I remember one Swami was telling the story in a funny way, that Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda, they were dancing in the kirtan and jumping, and while jumping, Nityananda Prabhu saw from far away one small figure coming with a stick. And you know, they were, oh, what shall we do now? And so eventually he came close, and they were so afraid of him that they jumped in the heart of the disciple, and since that time his name was Hridaya Chaitanya, because Lord Chaitanya went into his heart. Of course they manifested themselves again, but from that time I think they closed the doors very quickly. And if you go to that temple, you have to wait for a long time to see them. So they open and you're watching and looking and staring at the deities, and then you just close. Ah, you again have to wait. So there are examples, but coming back to the story of Hanuman, he was worshipping the deity of Lord Ramachandra, and Narada Muni was just approaching, and by seeing his mood of ecstatic worship, he was so much in himself in ecstasy, he was dancing in the air, he was coming now, and singing, and when Hanuman saw him, he just jumped also in the air, and he grabbed him by the neck. And also started singing with him. So you can imagine Hanuman keeping Narada Muni by the neck, and Narada Muni was just moving his legs down like that, and they were in complete ecstasy. So after a while, they went down and they started discussing, and Narada Muni was glorifying Hanuman. And Hanuman said, first answered, what do you mean that I received the greatest mercy? I'm here left by my, and he had this very tender and mild reproach for his beloved Lord, by saying he left me here by myself and took all the other associates to Ayodhya, to the spiritual world, but he left me here hard-heartedly, you know, mercilessly. He was reproaching him like that, and And actually the word which Sanatana Goswami uses is in the purport, Shri Radha Gopinath Ki Jai. In the purport, he says this word means actually heart-hardness. And I was looking for that word in Sanskrit for a long time. I don't know if I was at least asking Radhikaraman, maybe even Gopinath Acharya, to tell me how is in Sanskrit hard-hearted. Sometimes you see now devotees accuse the Lord for being hard-hearted in feeling of course separation and love. This is a particular mood of expressing the. And so Hanuman said that, but then again said, I'm here anyway left, and what do I did? Just little few things. But if you want to go to see the devotees who receive the mercy of the Lord, you go to Dwaraka and to the Pandavas, and you see there the Lord is really showing his mercy. He described how Lord Krishna now is manifesting such a wonderful and sweet pastimes with his devotees, exchanging love on unprecedented level. And let us go immediately, just by saying that, and then they both, yes, let's go immediately, because this was at the time when Krishna was there. But then Hanuman restricted himself, said, no, actually I can't come, you go yourself. And then he goes to the Pandavas, but before that, you know, in one particular verse it says that, and the example was of Yudhishthira Maharaj that was the example. Hanuman says, and watch out, don't take these devotees as just materialistic householders. Don't be proud that we two of you have Brihat Vrata, you know, lifelong Brahmachari Vrata, and don't look down. They are topmost Paramahamsas. They are much above us. Although they are full of opulence, of which even the kingdom, the king of heaven is envious, and they possess so much wealth and everything you could imagine for material enjoyment, but this is totally insignificant for them, because they are completely in love for Krishna, and their relationship, although an attachment between themselves is very strong, it is in relation for Krishna, is therefore completely transcendental. So there, and then in the purport again we see, because these purports, most of them are Sanatana Goswami's own commentary on the book. He says that Yudhishthira Maharaj was extremely attached to his brothers and wife, but that was not a material love, society, friendship and love. It is spiritual, because it was all connected with Krishna. So we shouldn't be afraid that we can't have a transcendental friendship and love with other devotees when in connection with Krishna. So back to the verse here, that to develop this transcendental relationship, we need to worship the Lord, and this is one of the five most important angas. And Prabhupada many times gave, it's in the second canto, there is a verse in which it is said that one who does not use one's eyes to see the beautiful form of the Lord, again meaning the murti of the Lord, they are like you know, the peacock, what is it? You know, they're compared with a, we are not alive, and the legs which don't go to the temple to see the Lord again, there, you're compared to a dead body. In the purport, Prabhupada gives a long purport describing the importance of deity worship, of worshipping different forms of the Lord. And especially it's important for householders, and in other places Prabhupada describes it. It is so essential, because the other, like hearing, chanting, the other two important of the these five angas of devotional service, they are in the category of Bhagavata Vidhi, and the deity worship is Pancharatrika Vidhi. So Prabhupada compares this to the two tracks of the rail one, you know, in one goes the current, the power, which is the Bhagavad Vidhi, is the most important and is actually sufficient enough to give us perfection. But Prabhupada says we need the other one. Why? Because we are so contaminated. If we are at the topmost level of devotional service, liberated Paramahamsas, we don't need actually anything else than hearing and chanting. But if we are not there, we need the worship of the deities, because he said we are very offensive, and that's why we don't progress when we are hearing and chanting, because of our offenses. So the means to purify the mind and to nullify these offenses is to worship the Lord in the form of a deity. And many times he gives this example that is a very easy process actually to remember the Lord in connection of deity worship. He says just look at the deities and see how Krishna is so beautifully standing. In many lectures Prabhupada remembers saying this in a way that it's really important that we take it to heart. He says you look at Krishna, you make an impression in your mind, you know, just by contemplating and looking, you remember after that all day. He says 24 hours you can remember the form of the Lord, and says how Krishna was standing, how he was dressed nicely, how he was he beautifully smiles and like that. So we make this impression, and he says those who can keep that impression in their hearts are the topmost yogis. No one can equal those devotees who meditate in such a way. And that's not difficult, to look at the beautiful form of the Lord. And that's what purifies our mind, however we are engrossed in sense gratification or material thinking. If just by looking at the Lord and remembrance we purify these thoughts, and then hearing and chanting can become much more easily and much more quickly to advance by that process. So and I think we're very fortunate here to be able to see the beautiful form of Shri Radha Gopinath. And I think today especially it will be very easy to remember them all day for those students who go to the field and play with the snow. You know, they will remember that somehow Gopinath, I don't know, by the pujaris, decision was deprived of the weapons of the snowballs which all others have. Especially Radharani has four snowballs and the gopis are just above his head. And yeah, he's totally defeated. Even before they started, they have all the weapons. But I mean, if you're playing, like we had this last week, so much snow, and a group of students, they were particularly fond of making an ambush to different other devotees, and they can remember that they're not alone in the play. Others are also playing, and it's don't think that Krishna is just sitting here all day, you know, and being idle and what to do and bored. You know, he is doing many things. Actually, one devotee from Hungary, it's a nice story which Urmila told me. Many years ago, she was pujari, she had a dream of going into an old, you know, staircase, stone staircase, which very narrow. She was walking and then she went on a floor with many, a corridor with many rooms. She opened one of the doors and she saw two extremely beautiful girls who were dressed not with traditional clothes. It seemed they were dressed Western style, but she was impressed by their beauty, and they were sitting on a table and writing, and she asked them, "What are you doing?" And they looked at her and they smiled and they said, "We're just writing pastimes for Radha Gopinath." And she was shocked. And later on, she didn't know, she understood and she heard that that there is a castle in Belgium with a staircase like that, with a stone, and then the deity is there, Radha Gopinath, and also there are Lalita and Vishakha. So she thought, oh, I must have seen Lalita and Vishakha writing the screenplay for a pastime. So sometimes I'm sure the pastimes, if there is such a snow, is throwing snowballs. And it's nicely, we can see it here now. Yeah, there are many, actually, many, many stories of sweet exchanges between the Lord. Prabhupada says again many times when we advance enough, Prabhupada says, and again in relation to deity worship, he says, Krishna will talk to you directly. And this, yeah, this is confirmed in Shastra, the story of Shakshi Gopal, you know that, and many other stories. But one I remember now, interesting, is the, again about deity of Gopinath. Actually, two or even three stories about different Gopinath deities. One is the Chirachor Gopinath. It's in, again in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Again, what the deity did was to steal, and that's why it's called Chirachor, steal for Madhavendra Puri a pot of rice. And the other Gopinath is the deity which Govinda Ghosh, one of the associates of Lord Chaitanya, installed. And he was traveling together with Lord Chaitanya and others from Nilachala to Vrindavan, but at one point they were staying in one place, and they took prasad, and Lord Chaitanya asked for a refreshment at the end, so he ran to the market and took haritaki fruit, but took a couple of fruits, so he gave one to Lord Chaitanya and kept the others. And Lord Chaitanya said, no, you're still in the habit of keeping and saving things. I think you should stay and be settled in one place as householder, you know, should get married and install a deity of Gopinath. And it's a long story, but he was one evening taking bath, and he was hit by something. So he had a dream, and a person came, carved the deity, and this deity is still there, of Gopinath, Sri Gopinath. And this devotee, Govinda Ghosh, he married, had a son, and he wanted to train his son in nicely in deity worship. So he showed him how to offer food. He was a small boy, and he said, now you ask Krishna to take the food and offer it. So, and the boy learned, and one day the father went somewhere and said, no, you have to offer instead of me. So the boy was offering, you know, he just made the prayers and waited, didn't go outside, and waited and expected actually the Gopinath should take the food. But the food was still there, and some time passed, and he was like really worried, oh my God, there's something wrong now, Krishna is not taking his food, what shall I do? And he was being more anxious and vexed by you know, seeing the food on the plate, and he said, my dear Lord, please eat. And no, the food was still there. And actually, I read the story, but I heard it also from one very sweet Bengali brahmachari. You know how they make the stories very lively. And then he said, and this boy, you know, he at one point decided, Gopinath, you should eat. And started giving him threats. But the food was still there, and at one point he took a wooden, I mean something from the construction of the altar or something, a big stick, and if you don't eat, I will chastise you. And then, you know, Gopinath became really afraid, and then he said, okay, no problem, I will eat it, but in one condition, you should not tell anybody this, that I have eaten it. And the boy said, okay, no problem. And then he ate the food, and then boy was really happy. Finally he ate, and the mother came after a long time. What happened with the offering? And boy said, yeah, he took it. And she looked, there was no food. She was like, oh, this boy has eaten the food. And then she was sorry, and then she told Govinda Ghosh after that, he ate the food. And then the father, how can you do that? He said, no, I didn't eat it. But he didn't reveal the whole, that actually Gopinath added. So anyway, after, it happened again many times, because as this brahmachari says, one Krishna agrees, he cannot step back, you know, if he gives himself to you, he cannot refuse anymore. And but the boy actually died, and his mother also prematurely, and Govinda Ghosh was so much depressed that he actually stopped worshipping Gopinath, and he just lay down and was devastated. And Gopinath came to him in a dream and said, why you don't care of me, you know, why you don't take care of me? And he said, how can you ask me such a thing? You know, you took my family, and I was hoping my son, I will train him that he will continue worshipping you, and also after I pass away, he will take care of the, you know, the rituals and the for the ancestors, he will perform the Shraddha ceremony. And who will do it now? And Gopinath said, I can take care of that, I promise. Please, bring me something to eat. So, you know, Govinda Ghosh jumped, you know, again, started cooking and serving. And that's what happened. And there is every year now a ceremony in which Gopinath, this day when Govinda Ghosh disappeared, I think actually it's just the day before Govardhan Puja. He keeps in his hand kusha grass and whatever is there for the performing of Shraddha ceremony of Govinda Ghosh, and they dress him in a special way, like the special clothes which a son should keep like that. And of course the deity of Tota Gopinath in Jagannath Puri, which was discovered by Lord Chaitanya himself in the, Tota means the garden, in the garden of Gadadhara Pandit, they were reading together Bhagavatam, and one day Lord Chaitanya was in complete ecstasy of separation, and he was looking, where is Krishna, where is, and he just started digging the sand, it's like a sandy earth there, and he found that deity, and this is the only deity of Krishna which he's not standing, it's sitting in Padmasana, it's in the lotus, and he's not keeping a flute in his hands, someone else has the flute, and there are Lalita and Radharani, they had Radharani had a veena and Lalita has the flute. And I know it's a very, very wonderful deity. Those who go to Jagannath Puri should definitely see it. It's a very small and open temple. You can go many times during the day and see it. And Lord Chaitanya was actually embracing that deity often. And you know, you can see it's just in a big, in a big house. This temple is like a big house. You go and they have just this you know, cloth curtains, and the pastime of Lord Chaitanya's living this world is like that. He just went one day, one time when devotee was performing kirtan, he went and the curtains were closed. It's like usually he was going often like that, and he sometimes was embracing Gopinath, and when they opened it, he wasn't there. And they saw there was like a small, I think on the left knee of Gopinath, a small crack with a golden line. And if you go in the morning after Mangal Arati to this temple and give a very small donation, or even if you don't give, but you can ask the pujaris, they will show you. They just take the dhoti of Gopinath and show you his knee, and you can see the golden line where they say Lord Chaitanya entered this deity. And there are many stories about how Krishna reciprocates, but the time is finished. Yeah, I wanted to play one more file, which is, I think, 1 minute of Prabhupada in, again, relation to deity worship. Where this is the lecture of the installation of Rukmini Dwarka Dish in Los Angeles. And this is one of the lectures or places where Prabhupada starts crying, and this is recorded, you can actually hear him. Well, but before that, okay, one more, it's all very short again. Not.
But one with love for Krishna, he sees Krishna, he's so kind, he's accepting my blessing, I'm crying, I'm gardening.
he's accepting my dressing and garland. He's talking about again deity worship here.
So the whole process is to increase our feeling of love for Krishna. That is, great amount of riches or knowledge and beauty, nothing. It is your business how to love me, how to please me, that you know. So if we want to love Krishna, Krishna will let us know.
What? He said the whole process is how to learn to feel love for Krishna. And if we want to do that, we just have to say, Krishna, I want to love you. That's very simple. Huh? Yeah. I want to love. Yeah, yeah, yeah. One more quote before I play the last one. And this is in describing the different types of affection in relationship with Krishna, and this relates to the Madhurya Rati conjugal love. And Prabhupada says the development of conjugal love can be possible only with those who are already engaged in following the regulative principles of devotional service, specifically in the worship of Radha and Krishna in the temple. Such devotees gradually develop a spontaneous love for the deity, and by hearing of the Lord's exchange of loving affairs with the gopis, they gradually become attracted to these pastimes. After this spontaneous attraction becomes highly developed, the devotee is placed in either of the above mentioned categories. The categories mentioned are the two types of this attraction, tat bhavichanu bhava and sambhogacha bhai. These are the two types of attraction in the conjugal rasa. And here is the last. So he is telling the story about Sanatan Goswami and Madan Mohan, how he didn't have anything, and what he got as daily food was some dry dough, some flour, and he was making chapatis without salt.
And it is stale. Don't give me little salt. How can I eat?
So, Madan Mohan complains here.
Sanatan Goswami says, sir, when shall I go? Whatever I get, I offer you. You kindly accept. I cannot move old man. So Krishna had to eat there.
You understand? Sanatana Goswami replied, sir, what can I do? That's the only thing I can get, and I'm an old man. Please take whatever I have. And Prabhupada says, and Krishna had to eat.
Because the bhakta is offering, he cannot refuse.
When the bhakta is offering, he cannot refuse.
Dhimam bhakti aprajit. The real thing is bhakti. What you can offer to Krishna, everything belongs to Krishna. What you have got? What is your value? And what is the value of your things? It is nothing.
We cannot... What is the value of whatever we have? It's nothing. It's everything anyway belonging to Krishna.
Therefore, the real thing is bhaktya. The real thing is your feeling.
The real thing is your feeling.
Krishna, kindly take it. I have no qualification. I am most rotten fallen. But I have brought this thing for you. Please take it. This
is... Prabhupada says, I have no qualification. I am so rotten and fallen. But I have come here and offer you this. So please take it.
Please accept it.
Please accept it.
Don't be puffed up. Always be careful.
Don't be puffed up. Always be careful.
You are dealing with Krishna.
You are dealing with Krishna.
That is my request. Thank you.
Yes, that's the end of the lecture. Shiva Prabhupada ki jai. I'm not sure if we have time for questions, but if there is one, maybe. Okay. No? Thank you very much. Shiva Prabhupada ki jai.